mysterious man. Ridicule appeared, bringing Harry dead. Ridicule has changed everything in our lives. He's colorful, magical, lovable. Ruby, he's our friend. Ruby, your name's DQ.
Hello, my name is Ruby.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast in the year 2018. Everyone's mad at me already. Could be the fact that I totally just blew out the gain. It could be the fact that the air conditioning stopped working here in the Fat Robot Studios. But let's face facts, everybody. There's a lot of reasons people could and probably should be angry with me. Let's talk about it. Look, I'm Race to Canis.
If you're going to give me crap for blowing out your headphones or accidentally, you have no room to complain.
Here's the deal. When have I ever complained about blowing out the
just now? Just friggin' now.
No, I assumed I was complaining on behalf of you guys. Hey, who are you, by the way?
I'm Robert Clark Jr.
And we are joined by, well, here's the deal, guys. You just need to just know this up front. Gina has left us temporarily. Well, no, long term, temporarily. Oh, she's dead.
Yeah. She was.
Oh, no.
It was a hail of bullets. Suge Knight may or may not be involved. I wasn't clear. I don't want to pursue it. I was told not to pursue it.
Chan, plausible deniability. We were supposed to act like we didn't know.
No, some men from the LAPD came and they said, don't follow this up. And I'm like, what? And then they punched me in the stomach.
Oh.
That was not related to the Gina incident.
Oh, yeah. No. Related. That's just what
we call Thursday here in LA. That's normal behavior.
Whew, Rampart. Do not go to that part of town. It's not great.
Gina moved to New York City, and she is now writing on the TV show Murphy Brown, which I believe we've talked about several times on this show. But so we don't have a Gina for like, what is it, 4 months, 4.5 months?
Something like.
And when she comes back, she might be a changed person. New York might make her angrier. She might hate animals. She might kick people.
By the way, this is the Candace Bergen Murphy Brown?
That is correct, yes.
They're bringing it back?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. It deserves it. So first off, let me introduce knowing all-star and now semi-permanent host.
I'm your new stepmom.
Stepmom. Eileen Mary O'Connell has joined us.
Hello. I'm furious.
So, Eileen, why are you mad at me today?
Ray, I'm always mad at you nonstop. The anger never ends. You're my arch nemesis.
That is a fact.
My most hated adversary. I hate you so much.
Thank you.
We have to see each other so much more regularly now.
I know. And I feel like I get enough hate on a day-to-day basis, and now at least once a week, I can fill up my coffers even more. Mm-hmm. My cup of hate doth runneth over.
There's like there's a group chat with Robert, Ray, and me, and I just had to like see Ray's dumb name on my Facebook so regularly, and I hate it so much.
Yeah. Well, you should stop subscribing to my feed.
I can't stop.
You get the notification every time it comes
like
up.
It's like following Donald Trump on Twitter. Okay, you do it for the hate.
Ooh, that's
no, I get it. I get it. We are joined also by a very special guest, the artist, that's how I think of him.
I thought you were formerly known as.
Formerly known as the artist. Jordan Monsell is with us.
Hello.
He does many amazing things in this town, besides all the art, the silhouettes by Jordan on Facebook. And also the thing I'd like to just bring up is your cosplay as both Beetlejuice and Edgar Allan Poe.
At the same time?
No, but that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Consolidate.
Instead of a raven, would it be like a sandworm?
Mm-hmm. Quote the sandworm.
Hey. Never morbid.
I love it.
So now you just said the G.I. Joe podcast. So yes. Now when you sold this idea to me, I thought it was all 80s cartoons.
It is 80s and 90s cartoons. See, okay, for the folks at home and for Jordan here just joining us, we started by doing every single episode of G.I. Joe. We were a G.I. Joe themed podcast.
Okay.
I came to Chan with this great idea of we should watch every episode of G.I. Joe. And then podcast about every single episode. The thing was, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
We finished.
And then you could talk about the movies.
We talked about, there are three miniseries and one movie. Well, besides the live action
and
movies.
And then the live action.
We have not done the live action movies yet. We're kind of saving those for special occasions.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really a lot to say about the live action. No. They're just not. Sorry, guys. I mean, I enjoy them.
Yeah.
But they do make me upset.
Yeah.
So maybe that would be a good show.
That sounds like a great show.
Yeah, maybe.
Anything where you're not upset is a waste of my time.
I just like to, anytime I feel anything at this point, it brings me joy.
How great would it have been, though, if the movies were set in present day, but it was like those Brady Bunch movies where they don't know that the joke is on them. You know, they're dressed like in the 70s. So you have these characters, the shirts are open, right?
See, I was thinking an additional thing, like G.I. Joe just goes to Hawaii with the Harlem Globetrotters. Because that would have been the angle that I would have loved to have seen.
Yeah, that's a good plot, too.
So, Jordan, you suggested other cartoons that you really wanted to do before the one we are going to do.
Wait, what?
But the thing is, he suggested shows like Real Ghostbusters, which we've already done before.
Yeah, we had done it.
And unfortunately,
that one kind of holds up.
That's the thing.
It's a really good cartoon.
So you also said Batman the Animated Series, which we've done multiple episodes of, which also completely holds up. And I said, Jordan, these shows are a little too good. Is there anything like crazy or like weird that you remember? So immediately he responds to me with, didn't Rubik's Cube have his own cartoon show? And I said, stop right there.
God damn it.
You've given me the excuse I needed to do the show I've wanted to do for 3 years of this podcast now. By the way, happy third birthday to Knowing is Something the Podcast. July 4th of 3 years ago was our debut day.
Is that right? Well, happy birthday.
I was going to jump down your throat because we have done an episode of this show inside those 3 years already.
We did. But here's the deal. It's not this one.
I'm just thankful that not all of them are available online.
See, this is the hard part. That's what you told me about.
There's a hard limit to us, the number of times we can watch these things.
I got to say, the highlight for me, though, watching this on YouTube was all the commercials.
That was amazing.
The commercials in between. I've started
looking for them now because some of these episodes have them.
They really took me back. And I remember a lot of those commercials, but I did not remember this episode. Well, I just didn't watch that show. Was it one season?
It was one season, 13 episodes, just like many shows that we watched from 1985, I believe.
Right.
That is 33 years ago.
Stop it.
That's before I was born, Ray.
Oh, God.
But the actual Rubik's Cube is, I want to say, like 42 years old or something.
Here's the deal. I believe it's much older than that.
Late 70s? Yeah, let's Google that.
I believe it was created in the 4th century.
The 4th century? Well, it sounds like much like gunpowder was invented by the Chinese.
Right. No, I mean, like, when did 1974, okay. Yeah.
44?
But when did they package it as the Rubik's Cube? Like, was 74, as I think.
I assume John Rubik got together with John Cube, and together they figured this thing out and then marketed the hell out of it.
So my first question
1980.
Is...
1980. 1980 is when it started going abroad.
That's why it's like the toy of the 80s. Yeah,
there you go.
Given those critics. Yeah. So my first question is, why didn't, when they decided, hey, let's take this toy and turn it into a cartoon series, why doesn't it have like a Russian accent?
Because it's a Russian toy?
Yeah.
Because of the Cold War, Jordan.
Well, two things. Like
I see that.
In the intro, it makes it kind of look like it's a Romani thing.
It is. It's Eastern European.
Because it turns out. The original name of this thing, of the Rubik's Cube, it was originally called the Hungarian Magic Cube.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Hungarian Magic.
So, yeah, that sounds like something you put into a goulash.
That's what I'm saying. Two things Hungary gave us was the Rubik's Cube and goulash, and we thank them heavily for both. Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of scary though in the cartoon because it has like a face like
terrifying.
It's the most horrifying thing on the planet.
It looks like if Gargamel had like a love child or something like that.
Yes, if Gargamel fucked a Smurf, right.
And then sounds like Gollum.
Guys, stop reading my fan fiction. That's private.
And I guess it has the power of like the Green Lantern.
It has
like
the power of whatever the F it feels like in the moment. And the other amazing thing about it is the voice of Rubik's Cube is done by the actor who played Horshack on Welcome Back, Kotter.
Really? I thought you were going to say Howie Mandel, because he did, like,
it would have made a lot of sense. Everything. But the way he did it was, they wanted to do that Alvin and the Chipmunks effect to it, but it was coming up all weird. Mm-hmm. So intentionally, Horshack, when he would do the lines from Rubik's Cube, is he would intentionally say them very slow and overly enunciated,
right,
like a drunken person.
Right.
And then when they sped it up, that's how we get this. Can we hear any of the sound?
No.
I'm going to be asking for a lot of these sound pulls, Chan.
No.
Because it is he is a nightmare.
Rubik has fun idea.
It's the most upsetting.
Nope. That is the voice of a serial killer.
It's like this.
That's the voice of a serial lover.
Smoky laugh.
It's this show. Okay, here's the deal. I thought this show should be a horror show. Let me just start there. Yeah. This should be like the Tales from the Crypt animated series, because the things, like, we'll get there. But the scene with the chicken alone was very upsetting to me.
Yeah, I thought he was just gonna leave the chicken in the egg.
I thought he was just gonna murder it. Like, all the chickens in there, as he laughs maniacally and he just fries them all. I don't know.
This is very the Twilight Zone episode with Billy Mumy, where he sends people out into the cornfield.
Yeah.
It's like,
yes.
And whenever chickens get around him, he's like, don't look him in the eye.
You're a bad man.
You're wonderful. We love you.
Well, so this episode is Rubik's first Christmas.
Hey, we're skipping the commercials.
Well, let's start with the theme song. Let's start there.
Okay, we could skip it.
The theme song, this is the greatest theme. Can I say, Aaron, it's the greatest theme song outside of, oh gosh,
Denver the Last Dinosaur?
Also fantastic. The one that had, what was the show we just did that had all the musical changes in the theme song, and I was super impressed by it? Oh my gosh. I'm going to look this up. But can we hear a little bit of this theme song? Because it is just so wonderful. That is a magical theme song. That's what really, frankly, works about this show to me is the fact they present it as it's Menudo. Menudo is the one who does that theme song.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly Ricky Martin's Menudo, but it might have been a little before his time as a member of the supergroup. But I want Ricky Martin to have done Rubik the Amazing Cube. But that being said, like, it makes it sound like this world of magic and mystery and fun and joy. And instead, they present you with a dystopian landscape of every horror come true at once. So we open up with the commercials. Chan, hit us off with some commercials right here. Lay it out for me.
The first one is the Rainbow Bright commercial.
Yes.
You were a Rainbow Bright person back in the day?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah, no.
It had rainbows in it, and I'm me.
You are too. To clarify, you're wearing all black right now, so it's not like...
I have a phone case with sparkles.
Officially, fair oh my enough. Gosh, that is, it's done like done. Wine being poured. Yep.
Yeah, it's a conflict it's of interest champagne. Here. It's a toast of the town, because I'm a basic bitch.
and you buried the lead on that, Gina. Eileen, I miss her already.
4 months already. Of this.
Wow. That's what you're gonna have to do.
So not Gina is wearing...
This is turning into Vertigo. Couldn't you put on this wig for me?
I'm wearing a dark navy capris.
They are navy. I don't see color, as the white people will say.
And I'm wearing a dark gray shirt that says Stay Quirky that my mother bought for me on an online sale.
But you're not mentioning the fact that you're dressed in full goth paint right
now.
And
I'm in full goth paint.
Yeah. The corpse paint is like a black metal band.
Every night I snuggle with a VHS copy of Nightmare Before Christmas. And I wake up and I look like this.
And you sleep in a coffin.
I sleep in a coffin. Yeah. That is correct.
Yeah. Upside down.
Upside down.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they never made a Saturday morning cartoon of The Night Before Christmas. Because, I mean, they did that on Beetlejuice, and that sounds even more unlikely.
Beetlejuice was Disney, so, I mean, Touchstone, wasn't it?
Touchstone
is Disney.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Touchstone.
I thought it was.
No, Nightmare was Touchstone and Disney.
Yeah. But I'm wondering if Disney got in the way, but then if they did own both properties.
The thing is, the Nightmare was stop motion.
True.
So if you go to the cartoon, then it feels kind of weird. Like a live action becomes a cartoon, that's the normal course of things.
Right.
But if you take another kind of animation and turn it into another kind of animation,
right,
it just feels weird.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel weird.
Can you imagine if it was stop motion, like every episode would take 4 years
oh,
to do?
No.
Kids are waiting for years for the next episode to come on. But I almost feel like that had that movie come out in the 80s, maybe it would have become a Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, it almost assuredly would have.
And instead it came out in 94, so maybe they're, eh.
They were still doing celebrity cartoons and whatnot in the mid-90s, most definitely so.
Yeah.
We've been over that many a time on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying that Jack Skellington is a celebrity?
Isn't he?
I celebrate him.
Can't argue that.
So, okay, so...
Captain Crunch.
Real quick, Chan, with the Rainbow Bright, was it weird that they referred to them as the Color Kids?
Not colored.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to be sure
is vital to the difference.
I thought I heard of something different in there, and I was like, oh no, Rainbow Bright and the Colored Kids. And also, was it Murky Dismal? Was that a Chan doll?
Oh, you mean peeking around the tree?
Yeah, the villain of that entire thing, like, I don't know, not like the action figure that you made your profile picture today, which is Scary You.
That's a Lego minifig of Black Lightning.
Yeah, it looks exactly like you.
It kind of does.
It looks exactly like you. I thought Murky Dismal looked a little bit like the essence of Chan, maybe not exactly.
He looks like a friggin' Mario ripoff.
Oh, yeah, I guess
he's got a weird helmet and, like, a huge old mustache.
So, in other words, Wario.
Wow!
I know, I wake up Eileen with that.
That woke me up. Yeah, okay, for viewers who haven't been keeping up for me in a while, or listeners, my brand is now Wario all the time.
Yeah, it used to be Space Jam.
It's still, like, Space Jam, Goofy Movie, Moana, Being Dead Inside, those are all still...
The staples of Eileen.
Wonderful parts of
Eileen's got a big umbrella, okay? She can encompass.
But now, adding to that umbrella is Wario, because he's gonna win.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, just wanted to clarify that. Also, I am the world's greatest sex and relationship expert.
Oh, yeah, how's that Townsend Coleman podcast coming along?
You know, he won't return my calls.
Because he's the voice of Michelangelo from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you were supposed to meet up with him a couple of months ago to do a sex and relationship podcast.
This is what we call backstory. There's a whole mythology to the show.
Very entertained right
now.
Yeah. Who was Corey Feldman then on the... Was he Donatello?
No, he was the voice of the first movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Yeah, Donatello was Rob Paulson. I mean, everybody knows that.
Yes.
He was Raphael. Never mind.
Remember when you get free shit in cereal? I mean, I know this is one of those things that everybody brings up. I guess that's our generation's, I remember when bread was a nickel a loaf. And now, we're all like, hey, remember when you used to get Tidal Wave bubblegum and our Captain Crunch cereal? Those are some good times.
But didn't you have to send away for it, too? Like, wasn't it, like, not even in the box, but you had to mail away and have them mail you gum?
That was the transition. Like, at least you were still getting things at that point.
Mm. Yeah.
And then now, like, there's nothing.
And later, there's a Wendy's Frosty for free with, like, Rice Krispies or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You just cut out that coupon.
That Frosty looked so good.
Didn't it look, amazing in this weather?
Were those two, like, 8-year-old yuppies on the beach, and they're like, did I mention it was free?
It would be great if the poor kids knew about this.
you guys, I have only very recently found out about the McFlurry.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it existed. I did not know how good it was.
Is it that good? I haven't had one in, like, a decade at least.
I'd never had them before. I don't know if they've changed or whatever, but I like them.
Really?
We were talking about Frosties, and I love Frosties. Can't do Wendy's anymore, so...
oh, no!
What did
their
Wendy
social
do
media
to you?
Was too extreme?
No, they...
Or is it the fake finger and the chili?
Is it because Wendy has a punchable face? Is that why? Is it because
all
of
these
punchable
are good
face?
Reasons.
Is it because Dave Thomas was adopted?
The actual reason is...
Their burgers are square.
Is it because you never did know where the beef was?
I mean, find the beef, Wendy's. It's been 40 years, damn it.
That woman died and she took the secret to her grave.
She died before she knew where the beef was.
She never found out.
The deal is that they employ slave labor on their tomato farms.
Oh.
And it would cost a penny more per burger for them not to do that, and they flat out refuse to do it.
So you're saying I save a penny?
Yes.
All right.
Nice.
Wait a minute. That's the wrong take.
Anyway, I wouldn't expect anything less from a punchable woman face like Wendy.
Anyway, getting back. So Captain women. Crunch.
Captain Crunch.
So was there a toy in this commercial inside?
No, it was the gum.
It was the gum.
It was Tidal Wave gum, the ones with the liquid center.
But this commercial for Captain Crunch was like, Captain Crunch hangs out with monsters, which is appropriate for this show, I suppose.
And then there was a kids band and a girl with a keytar.
There was a song, yeah.
The song is
all over the place.
The song is... So we cut back to the show. That's a great commercial break, everybody. So they're singing Feliz Navidad because the story of Rubik's the Amazing Cube is he was found, an evil magician?
In a horse-drawn carriage.
And he fell out of the horse-drawn carriage.
Let's just be clear. Gypsies are all evil magicians.
Sir, we call them Romani, thank you.
Oh, but now we're getting back to the Hungarian roots of the cube.
That's correct.
The magic cube.
But he's adopted by...
I just want us to remember that in the 80s, we called them gypsies.
We did.
And we had horrible, horrible stereotypes about them.
Chen, we did a lot of things in the 80s that maybe we shouldn't have. There are a lot of properties that maybe don't hold up as well as we wish they did, Bill and Ted. And...
Yep.
Still looking forward to the third.
National Lampoon's Animal House. I'm just saying...
Whoa, hot take. Regular take, because it's hot out.
Revenge of the Nerds. I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff out there that is problematic these days. But Rubik's Cube, not one of them. They're singing Feliz Navidad because they're a Latino-Mexican-American family that adopts the cube.
And that is the only Latino song any of us knows.
That is correct.
I mean, now we have, Despacito? We can now add that to our repertoire. Well,
there's
as
that song
Americans.
From Desperado that was sung by Antonio Banderas that I can only know it if I hear it.
Oh, I thought you were about to say Desperado.
Okay, also great.
There's that song by 98 Degrees, Give Me Just One Night, and then Una Noche.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I'm just saying, Trump was right. It's invading our culture.
and the little girl has sung it 87 times.
87 times. The whole family. And is it weird? Michael Bell, God bless Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe. I believe he not only plays the father, he also plays one of the kids, a younger sounding voice of the. It's the same voice. I swear to God. Can we hear a little quick clip?
Come on, kids. We're almost at Grand Maria's town. Enjoy the beautiful Mexican scenery.
I mean, here's the deal. Michael Bell is like a 6 foot plus, tall, blonde, white dude. There is nothing Latino about Michael Bell at all. So the idea that Duke from G.I. Joe is the Latin father of this family both intrigues and horrifies me at the same time.
Yeah. I do enjoy the fact that he's all like, enjoy the beautiful Mexican scenery. And to be fair... You know, it's expensive to draw scenery.
It is.
But maybe don't call attention to the fact that you've just put a fucking desert outside that car.
There's nothing to see. And the fact that they are Mexican, why would they have to refer to it as Mexican scenery? Wouldn't they just call it scenery? Maybe I'm crazy. You know what they call Chinese food in China? Food. That's... I'm just saying.
No,
they call Chinese food.
Yeah. We remember 3 hours ago passing the sign that says you're entering Mexico. We remember.
Hello. Ding. And we find out about Rubik's first magic power that he decides to show with us. The ability to turn dolls alive.
Uh-huh. Holy horrifying. Shit.
This was a nightmare.
I did not care for that one bit.
So right out the gate. Yeah, it becomes like child's play.
And the kids are friggin' laughing like maniacs because the dog is freaking out, as it should.
Because the doll punches the dog in the face.
That's what you have a dog for. So when a doll comes to life, the dog will take care of it and let you know that there's unholy evil in your house.
And how dare they? They turn the rag doll back to a doll right as the dog's about to get over. And so then they're just like, dog, what are you doing? Boy, I feel for this dog. I'm just saying.
So at this point, do the parents know about the cube?
No, they're hiding it a secret from everyone but the three of the children.
And later on, when the grandmother finds out, she's like, oh, it's okay. I knew about the cube the whole time.
Here's the deal. This is a plot point that I am happy, much like The Sixth Sense. I was on top of this plot point well before the reveal.
And I'm sorry,
we're
jumping ahead here.
Yes.
But if you're a parent and you're driving, you're always keeping a watchful eye on the back seat.
Oh, yes.
So how are they not
be.
Seeing this thing flying around?
Floating around the car, you mean?
Making dolls come to life.
Also, how big is this car? It's got like, it's like Doctor Who's phone booth in the trunk.
That's a big car. Hold on.
I just want to take a moment here. Now that I have firsthand experience parenting a child,
yes.
Okay.
I can say with a fair amount of certainty that if you don't hear the sound of blood squirting from a jugular vein after you've sung Feliz Navidad 87 fucking times, you're not even going to look in the back in the rearview mirror because you're like, you know what? They're not dead. I don't fucking care what they're doing. Eyes I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Fair enough.
How many times has Egon sing Feliz Navidad when you guys drive around?
Just once, which is really all you need, you know, seeing as how he can't speak yet. So just amazing. The ones through, it's like, oh, well, that's terrifying. He's possessed by a demon. And you know what? Did not look in the rearview mirror. Did not look. Did not want
to
know.
Just to be clear, Chan, you're now, is it 8-month-old? Mm-hmm. 8-month-old child. Yep. Sang in a different language than you understand.
Oh, yeah.
While you were driving. Yeah. No part of you thought to investigate that.
He followed it up with Despacito, so I'm like, oh, God, I can't even with this. I'm done.
He's like, just don't do that song from Desperado.
No.
That'll be fine.
He didn't know it either, so.
Nobody knows it, but if I hear it, I'm like, oh, that's that song from Desperado, and I love it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ray.
It's so good.
What language did it sound like?
Ancient Etruscan, I imagine.
Ancient Etruscan.
Sumerian, reverse Sumerian.
Channeling a past life, or?
Could be, yeah. Don't want to know. I'm not going to ask.
So let's talk about let's move the plot forward. And we meet Abuelito, and she is driving a Jeep.
With a speed racer helmet.
Conservatively, yep. She's driving around this on mountainside, conservatively at 9,000 miles an hour.
Yes. Uh-huh.
This is the fastest, and there's no guardrails to protect her from flying over, but she's just hugging it in a way that I'm just not sure is physically possible.
Oh, yeah, we skipped over the part where cheap Mexican labor is filling up this truck full of toys.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then two, what I can only assume because they're Mexican, rapists
hopped
into the truck cab and just took off with all of the all of these toys for all the little children.
Welcome back to the Red Country podcast.
I mean, if the president says it has to be true, right? That's why we have a president.
That's
well,
true.
This. I mean, I would say right now, this cartoon confirms they are not sending us their best cartoons. I say cartoons.
Do you think this came from Mexico? Do you think they made it in Mexico and then set it up here?
I'll be honest. The scenery is so on point that I have to assume that they must have been on location in order to make this.
That makes sense.
But yeah, so the truck is stolen by two hoodlums, two young snot-nosed punks.
Who both sound like Cheech Marin.
Both of them.
Yes, that is correct. I believe it was actually Cheech Marin and also Cheech Marin doing the voices. That makes a lot more sense right there. And then we introduce the Abuelita. So she's the grandmother of the children.
Grandma Ria, which I only assume is short for diarrhea.
Oh, my goodness. Kids, I've got to go. Grandma Ria's got some diarrhea.
You know how it goes.
Out.
Softly,
quickly.
Softly and quickly, out my butthole.
And we're introduced to a parrot who speaks perfect English for one scene only for this entirety of this cartoon. She says, "Who's the square one now, Rubik's Cube?" Which is a very, like, that is an on-point, like, double entendre.
Because it's hip. A cube, and they're square.
Thank you.
I got it.
Thanks, Eileen.
No problem. Guys, I'm your stepmom.
But this parrot's incredible, and it's like, well, we had it for this one joke. Bye. Never to be seen again.
I'm sure there was a subplot that got cut out where the bird, like, saves the day or grabs Rubik and, like, mixes him up or something like that.
We had room for this when we had a later bird investigation later on in this thing. We had a confrontation, with a condor later on. This bird as parrot could have easily saved the day.
Yeah, and so Rubik's Cube has all these powers, but if he gets scrambled, he can't.
He loses them.
He can't get his way out of a bird's nest.
No, mm-hmm. if he gets the story is if he gets scrambled, right. he loses his face, his legs, and his powers.
Who doesn't?
He can, seriously, and then he has to be re-put together by one of the genius children, mm-hmm. and then he can save their lives. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those kids are really good at Rubik's cubes.
Yeah,
I get upset when kids
like
are good
Will
at Rubik's
Smith
cubes.
And.
I get upset when kids are good at anything.
God, yeah. What if I had a magic Rubik's Cube? Because I never in my life managed to make one of those things. I never managed to solve one of those things. So never. Maybe I had one.
You had
and I
one.
Just never knew.
And none of the faces across America actually were revealed because almost no one
could
do
it.
Solve
them. Now,
do you ever hear your scrambled cube like kind of mumble like a help? Help!
Yes. I mean, I heard those voices constantly. I don't know if it was Rubik.
It might have been Rubik.
It literally could have been anything.
There's so many things it could have been.
Jan, are you back on your medication again? Just side question. Okay. Now, wait a minute. Would you be able to unlock the Rubik's Cube if you did what I did and just peel the stickers off and put them back where you want them? Would that solve the Rubik's Cube or would that permanently destroy it?
No, that's... No.
I believe we would hear Horshack screaming if
face!
You did that.
It's like ripping his skin off.
My face!
Oh my God, it's like Hellraiser.
My beautiful face.
I did see recently at the Magic Castle, for those listening. Is
Brag much?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a place. All right. It's this place in Los Angeles where you can go see magic, and it looks like an old Victorian.
I don't believe in
magic.
I only believe in the Jesus Castle.
They're not walking on water there, but incredible magic using the Rubik's Cube.
Yes.
Just unscrambling, and the guy had his eyes closed, and like, in a matter of seconds, boom.
Was this thing just solving it?
No, he called someone up from the audience, and she scrambled it up.
Right.
And then with his eyes closed, he took it and fixed it.
Are we sure he didn't disappear it and just reappear like a fully formed cube and then just be like, thank you?
Let me believe. No, I mean, I was sitting pretty good because the magic there is pretty up close. So,
yes.
I mean, obviously there's sleight of hand going on.
Right, but that's more just like a skill because, like, there is a particular pattern. If you, like, do a certain, you know, number of turns of this and then turns of this and then keep doing it, then it will be solved.
Right.
So, I mean, he didn't, like, yeah, he didn't make it like.
But it was like incredibly.
He didn't make it explode. Yes, Jan, violent eruptions.
I mean, I don't know. Here's the thing: like the Magic Castle seems awesome, and like, especially close-up magic is really neat.
It's
but
the
like
best.
This is just like there's that video.
Are you
of
not
the
impressed
kid.
By this?
There's the video.
Are
of
you
the
not
kid,
entertained?
The kid who fucking juggles three scrambled Rubik's cubes and solves them. So I'm sorry, that Magic Castle thing. Bullshit.
So, Chan,
bullshit.
And in a follow up, did our hitman complete that contract we put on that kid? Because we decided he could not live on this earth any longer.
He's still alive. We haven't heard back from the hitman.
Okay, it's a work in progress. Is all.
Don't fuck with the kid. Don't fuck with the kid. He will rule us all someday.
I'm not sending a second one. That's how it works. If you kill the first assassin, you don't get a second one.
I don't know what's going on.
This is all backstory to just a hilarious mythology that we've built into.
Guys,
this
knowing season three, really, you got to go back from the first one and really just.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely have to just spend lots of hours listening to low quality dick jokes. Just the worst, honestly.
I think we put some highbrow ones in there, Chan. I think you're selling it short.
I mean, it's a slog.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Sure, Sir Isaac Newton unraveled the mysteries of gravity, but could he have unraveled the mysteries of Rubik's Cube? 3 weeks ago, Judge Smith retired to her chambers with Exhibit A, Rubik's Cube. She hasn't been seen since. Warning, once you get your hands on Rubik's Cube, you may never be able to put it down. Rubik's Cube, over 3 billion combinations, but just one solution from Ideal.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
So how about the fact that the news radios up to Abuelita,
Grandma Diarrhea.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on real quick.
Yeah.
Every year the kids break the piñata at Christmas.
That's the noise of a piñata being burst open. And it sounds like, I don't know, somebody dynamited a clay oven.
Can we hear that one more time?
What the shit?
I didn't even notice that.
The piñata at Christmas.
Yeah. We have the sound of a brick wall collapsing. That's good for a piñata, right? How heavy is that Mexican candy?
This is 1985. They went to the Foley people like, do you got a piñata breaking? I'm like, what the fuck's a piñata?
Yeah.
No, it's just like a paper mache thing. Like, paper what?
I don't know.
Can you just have something like sort of like tearing? Like, we've got a car crashing into a pizza joint. Like, yeah. Whatever,
done.
Man.
Listen, we already don't care anymore. Oh, that's amazing. I did not catch it. But I just appreciated that the fact that they said, hey, there's armed criminals, potentially, that just stole a truck, your truck, filled with presents for all the children. And do you have Grandma Diarrhea's like reaction to getting this call?
Make it catch on.
Hold on. That's not what they said. They said,
a couple of boys stole a truck loaded with Christmas toys.
That's basically what I said. I'm adding an element of danger to it.
Hold
because
on.
Who steals trucks other than hardened criminals?
This is straight up a Trump thing.
Oh, no.
Because here they said a couple of boys, but to Ray, he was like, a couple of Mexican boys. Obviously, they're armed criminals. Hey, everybody. This cartoon says a bunch of armed criminals robbed a truck.
Guys, welcome back to MR Ray, my my men's rights podcast. No, but what is her reaction to it? That's my favorite part. Is she so like over it already?
Thanks for the information. Over and out.
She's so happy about it. She's just happy anybody's calling. Like every grandma.
She's not like every grandma.
I can't talk for long because I have diarrhea.
Oh no! Again.
She has incredible energy for, I don't know how old she is.
Very spry.
Supposed to be. She's like Meryl Streep and Mamma Mia. Right? She goes up on one leg, which is a little creepy, when she's kissing her son.
That was weird.
Right? Isn't that weird?
Yes.
I care for that.
And then her house looks like the lobby of the Overlook Hotel.
It does.
Like oh my
I've
God.
Always been here, kids.
Oh, my God. There's just a picture of her from 1896 hanging on the wall.
She's driving like a speed demon in her Jeep, and then she's jumping on burros.
So this is the next question I have.
All of these things are fitting perfectly with... Yeah.
She is dead. She is a poltergeist that is haunting this establishment.
No, she is death.
She
is death.
Oh, no.
The living incarnation. Because from the get-go, it is, she does act differently, and I saw this, heard the same thing that you did, Ray. I was like, wait a minute, she fucking know that Rubik is a thing?
Yep.
I thought, like, okay, maybe there was an episode where they didn't, you know, or where they covered this, and they had talked to Abuelita before, but then they were like, oh, we can't let our grandmother know. I'm like,
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on here? And then
her insistence later on when she's like, okay, we have this really important task to do to save all of Christmas. But before we do that, let's take a very dangerous assignment so you can like rescue your $2.99 cube.
Yes. Yeah. And doesn't even ask the parents, like, do you mind if I take the children on this daring mission?
Yes. We're going to lower you from a rope just holding on. We'll get there.
Hell were they doing? They're like, I'm going to go chase some criminals who stole my vehicle. You two adults just stay home. I, an old woman, will take children.
Yeah.
Just beat this pinata for a while. You guys will be fine. To be fair, though, after the parents had heard Feliz Navidad 87 times,
right?
The fact that she wants to take them anywhere, they do not care at that point.
100%. They're like,
they're sipping back margaritas by the pool.
We have time without the kids in Mexico to fucking bone down. All right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, go. I don't care what. Drug runners? Good. Go.
Great.
Have fun.
Great.
Oh, you say there's a biplane involved? Go crazy. Leave us with the tequila.
When has anybody ever died from a plane? Come on.
Chan, the Wright brothers. Thank you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 9/11. You really should have.
Oh, God.
You really should have.
No, I really shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of myself for not.
That's what you needed to do, and you didn't have the balls.
Hey, Ray, you don't have the balls to make a good 9/11 joke?
I don't. I'm just, here's the deal, guys. I'm going to turn the page. So the kids are driving off with the truck on that same, like, cliffside, mountainside road. But they hit some rocks, and they fall off smoothly onto a branch that props the truck up.
Yeah. Yep. Like, strongest branch in the world.
The strongest branch in the history of branches.
And for some reason, the toys stay in the back of this truck that doesn't have a back.
Does not have a flap.
Gate?
Nope. At which point, we cut back to the kids. So they have a map taking them somewhere. I didn't really understand why they needed a map, because she lives there and in theory understands the landscape.
And has made clear that there is a single road between where she is and the town. And I'm like, definitely need that map.
Yeah. Or you could just keep going, you know, forward.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an option.
Stay on the road, because there's only the one.
And this is the part that really upset me the most, is a chick, basically the map flies away, and Rubik's going after it to save the day.
And
somehow, and the grandma, in theory at this point, doesn't see what's happening, which is flat out goddamn insane to me.
The thing is, Rubik is floating above the Jeep for like a minute.
Yeah, and talking to them, making the Jeep fly in the air. Don't mind any of that. So chasing after a chicken, so this chicken steals the map and runs into the chicken coop.
Tomasita guide.
Yes.
Boom.
And so Rubik is using like every power he can think of to like levitate all the chickens except for the one with the map. And then he turns.
That's fucked up.
You
know where the chicken is. Yeah. Go for the chicken. Don't freak out every other chicken in the roost just to be an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, look at the power I have. I could destroy you all.
Aren't you impressed?
Give me
chickens.
Give me the map, chicken.
And it's laughing maniacally all the time.
That's the sound clip I want, because this is the most upsetting part. Is Rubik is having like crazy person fun.
Can we slow it down? Do you have the ability?
We might have to try doing that.
Rubik, know where you are.
Oh dear!
Killer.
Oh no! Yeah. Oh. Guys, I'm not even kidding. I just, I need a breath.
Yeah,
that is the most. Like, I'm gonna hear that in my nightmare tonight.
Poor chicken.
This was clearly directed by John Carpenter. It was like right in the midst of his.
You know, I'm gonna teach. I'm gonna teach Egon. That's gonna be his first words.
Rubik, know where you are.
Yeah, guys, nightmare fuel. Yeah. That's all. That's all this episode is. Okay, so he turns the chicken into an egg, which is also horrifying.
And very philosophical.
It is very,
It's a visual joke.
Mm-hmm. It is.
But I can't tell if it's better or worse that it turns out he's just encased him in an egg.
Yes.
Instead of actually turning him into a giant embryo.
But Rubik at first was going to just leave him in there.
Yeah. It's kind of an afterthought. He's like,
I guess I'll boop. And then he breaks the egg open.
As if this chicken has conscious thought and has wronged him somehow. It's a goddamn chicken. A piece of paper flew across its beak. It was like, oh, I will take this because why not?
What,
I will put this
chicken
in my nest.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like, if this fucking Rubik probably like rips the legs off of ants and like sets fire to cats
because
you yowling too much, kitty.
Rubik, know where you are.
Oh God! And they
they make a big deal out of
happened,
Eileen?
Crossing over like crazy serial killer stuff with like times up.
Hashtag times up.
Yeah, hashtag times up, Rubik.
He's not molesting the chickens
yet
that we know of. Yeah, that's a good point. They make a big deal of saying like grandma can't see, and yet meanwhile Rubik is doing like every magical goddamn thing on the planet in direct view of her. Right. So this is where I start being like, guys, there's literally a point where that she imagines that the two children are pushing the Jeep later on, and then it's just Rubik levitating the whole thing and driving it forward. It's like sure, but here's the deal. With the plot points we know, it all holds together, guys. Rubik holds together.
Yeah, because the fact of the matter is, she is not at all surprised by any of these things that happen.
Nope.
It's not even like, huh, that's about, okay, oh, I see, well, this must be a magical creature. She, like,
She already knows.
She knew.
She's into some weird Santeria shit already.
That's right.
She's got a basement full of
Wicca.
Yeah, just like the blood of hyenas and just dark pentagram circles with candles and.
Well, and this is the weird plot point that I just like. This just it just seems weird because the kids now that stole the truck that's hanging by a branch meet up with a couple of banditos, I assume, and they have a tow truck handy. And they say, hey, we're going to like save this truck from falling off the edge with a tow truck, which is very nice.
Yeah. Mm.
And then they say, hey, kids, what do you give us for this? What do you want us to give you for this truck?
Which is very honest of them.
Yeah.
They could have just stolen it.
And then the kids are like, nothing. And they're like, okay, fuck you. Bye.
He could have given me one peso for
nothing.
It.
Nothing.
At all.
Well, that doesn't belong to us, so we're going to give it to you for nothing.
That Why does there have to be two sets of criminals, basically? Why couldn't they could have just left it with the two guys, the two kids?
That's my point. It's just now we have hardened criminals.
Because neither group cared about the toys.
Did not care about it whatsoever.
Like, there wasn't one Scrooge-type character that said, oh, I hate Christmas, and I don't want these kids to get these toys.
Yeah.
The first two kids stole the truck, not thinking there was anything in the back.
Didn't know the toys were there.
The
yeah.
second two were like, oh, man, we gotta dump these toys in an old temple.
Fill it with gold.
So here's the deal. Let's walk through the plan of the bad guys, the two banditos here. Yeah. They bought a tow truck in hopes of finding a real truck hanging off the edge of this mountain so they could take it and then dump whatever the real truck was having.
But hold on.
To
I will
go
say
find gold and fill it with the truck.
That in Los Angeles, Hollywood is rife with tow truck drivers who make their living by cruising around. Yanking cars out of slots as soon as the meter turns red and then hucking it down like a few blocks away to hide the car so you don't know where it is.
Yep.
You got to pay them and then they'll bring it back for you and they'll you know, they'll charge you several hundred dollars.
Yep.
$300, guys.
Yeah.
Not that I've been there, but I've totally
these
been
people
there.
It's criminal.
Are monsters.
Here's the
so
deal.
Anyone who's got a tow truck, in my head, these are just normal tow truck drivers and they saw this thing was like
normal.
Well, here's a chance to walk away with just thousands of dollars.
In their minds, they got to be like, this thing is clearly parked illegally. I don't know the laws around here, but I know it's not allowed to be on that fucking branch.
I think whatever the kids said, like, hey, how much you want for this truck? However much they asked, they would have said, you know what? We're taking it. Thank you very much.
So the kids just made it easy.
Yeah.
And they decide they want to dump the toys at the ruins. I mean, literally, they could just drop them off in town and
they could have dropped them
anywhere.
Where they were.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to go to the ruins to hide the toys? Why do they need to hide the toys?
And the other thing, to the point of the, what are the kids doing there? Want to just put those characters together. Like, the kids weren't even needed to be told where things were.
No.
Because Rubik just fucking clairvoyanced it.
He did.
Like, oh, the shit's in these ruins.
Is it more of like a geocache thing where it's like, if we take something, we have to leave something?
I think
because
that's fair.
They do talk about, like, the evil god, the spirits of the
curse.
Temple.
There's a big curse.
There's a curse.
Yeah.
So if we're gonna loot gold out of this, we better leave some like action figures.
Oh, did they get the gold from the ruins?
But they never got gold. They never got the gold.
Yeah, I thought they were dropping off the gifts at the ruins so they could pick up the gold.
No, they're going to the pyramids.
But there's a curse on the ruins, and they didn't want to go there for the curse. So just fucking dump them where you are, anywhere in between there and the ruins. Just fling them out one at a time as you're driving along. I don't know, fucking. Stop at a gas station. Put them there.
Are there any Is there any footage of writers' rooms in the 1980s for cartoon?
No, but there's a lot of cocaine residue.
Yes. Is this a powder donut or?
Or here's what this is. Here's like, okay, we were going to do a Christmas special to be an hour long and to be a very convoluted story where these kids come and they learn about the spirit of Christmas, whereas these bad guys come and they're stealing gold from the Aztec, and then the curse comes down on them, but then Rubik fights them off, and we're like, man, it's a 22-minute episode, and the lunch truck is here. Oh,
okay, well, cut all that shit and just cram it all together. 22 minutes. Just hack out pages 14 through 52.
Forget about the parrot sub-story. Forget about the parrot.
Anything between 14 and 52 is just gone.
Yeah. And it's just, but the thing is, they dump it in like a historical landmark. Yeah. It's like, we've got all this hot merchandise to get rid of. Better take it to the Louvre. I mean, like, what the heck are they doing? And also, what pyramids are in Mexico? I know that they have the ziggurats.
Cancun.
Are there pyramids?
Oh, no.
Do you realize that Mexico City is built on those? It's built on top of Tenochtitlan, which had a bunch of fucking pyramids.
Like real pyramids, like Egyptian pyramids.
Why they got to be fucking Egyptian?
Because that's where the pyramids are.
A pyramid is a geometric shape, man. You can have fucking pyramids other places in the world.
I didn't think anybody else would be crazy enough to build pyramids. That's just, it's just so weird.
It's a triangle.
It's a triangle.
Guys, pyramids are jacked up.
Hold on. Are you saying? Weird.
The real question is how at 3,000 years ago, pyramids were being built in two totally different parts of the world.
Yeah. Shapes don't exist in two times at the same time, you know. Thank you.
At two times at the same time.
Thank you.
Wow.
Guys, it's hot in here.
The Mexican pyramids were built long after the...
And they had gold in them?
Yeah.
The seven cities of gold. Okay, Cortez, I get this.
Somebody needs to watch The Voyage of the Mimi.
I
thought you were going to say The Road to El Dorado.
That too. It was an educational miniseries starring a young Ben Affleck. And I don't know what happened in the first series, but in the sequel, Voyage of the Mimi 2, they learn all about Mexico and like the pyramids. And also there's a woman with a amputated leg.
Guys, going on the watch list. That's all I'm going to say.
We watched it in sixth grade social studies.
I'm going to fast forward the plot a little bit because there's a whole bunch of stuff that really doesn't matter. Grandma almost gets run over for standing in the road when the thugs are coming.
Walking home from my house.
And I have the runs on account of diarrhea.
And then Rubik saves Grandma by like tumbling her to the other side of the road roughly.
Yeah.
And then how did he get trapped in the
truck? And then for some reason, the kids still don't realize that she knows what the fuck a Rubik is.
Yes.
Like, he literally lifted her up in some sort of like dust devil flung her like 30 feet.
Yeah.
And like,
and she stands up being like, ooh.
That's a totally normal thing that always happens.
That's Thursday.
You couldn't just like cut the brakes of that truck or like stop the truck.
Since that's what they were there to do in the first place. Yeah. Make the truck no go movie no more.
Right.
These are things I would have thought to do. But how did he get stuck inside the truck that is open? It's an open topped truck and he can fly. Now I know he gets scrambled because that's, you know, plot. Mm-hmm. Good plot, good writing.
Oh, hey, hold on. No, I want to back up real quick. We skipped over some stuff. Let's skip it over the part where they break down in the middle of nowhere.
That was dumb.
And Grandma was like, yeah, you need to bring your own shit. I have a fan belt right here. And then she fixes the fucking Jeep.
Okay, that was weird.
And they still do the thing again. What these idiot children. But
did
I wanted
just
to
break
point
it
out,
again?
I want to point out the fact that this girl, I had forgotten how fucking awful she is.
She is awful, yeah.
They are stranded in the middle of a goddamn desert.
Yes.
It's probably 112 degrees outside.
Much like this weekend in LA.
Oh my God.
Right.
Hey guys, if you didn't know, there's a big heat wave in LA right now. I'm sure you knew though, because literally we cannot stop talking about it.
This girl, I forget her name.
She sounds like Drew Barrymore though.
Now we're stuck out in the middle of nowhere, and I don't even have my dog to play with.
What the ever-living fuck?
No, every time she would say anything, it was horrible. It was very bad.
Yeah, we'll get to a point later where I had WTF just multiple times in my notes because she turns into like a Shecky Green all of a sudden, just lobbing snarky jokes left and right.
Lisa's got the jokes. So let's get to the next commercial break then.
Because
we open with an Oreo commercial starring a very famous actor as a child.
Whoa.
In this commercial, if you guys noticed.
Huh?
I'm familiar with this commercial because of a previous show that we had watched.
Is it Seth Green?
It's not Seth Green.
All right.
In that commercial, and for just a brief moment, Jaleel White, TV's Urkel, as a like 6 or 7 year old, is eating an Oreo in like his big like TV debut.
Nice.
Wow. And I only know this because after we did a lot of talking about Urkel and I believe with the Urkel special that was going on. So I was looking for it on YouTube.
While we were watching the MC Hammer.
Yeah, Hammer Man. Which I think is the song, which is the theme song that had the great like musical stuff that I was really into. But it might have also been Wish Kid. There's a lot of good ones. My point is, that is Jaleel White in that commercial, which basically makes the entire rest of the commercial does not matter.
Wow.
That Science Kid, nobody cares.
Do you remember?
I took a screenshot of that Science Kid. His face made me laugh so hard.
I mean, when he's putting the Oreo. Yeah, yeah.
Can you send me that picture, please, Eileen?
I'll CC you in the tweet.
Yeah, please, because I need to put that on the Facebook page for the world to enjoy.
I included the caption, me when I remember how I've been wronged.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember when there were only two kinds of Oreos?
Well, there was, no, there was just double stuff and regular, right? Was that?
I mean, at this point, yes, that's all there was.
Yeah. Because now they have like America that are like red, white, and blue, and like come with Pop Rocks in them. Like it's just Oreos. You've gone out of control.
Yeah, now they have birthday cake, and that's a good one.
bring it back, Oreos.
Birthday cake is just like a variant of vanilla.
It really.
I don't have a problem
with
vanilla,
but it's got some funfetti.
Cinnamon is a problem that I am not a fan of.
Red velvet for when I'm really
red velvet Oreos.
Yeah, there's red velvet Oreos.
I think I'd rather be murdered.
And you want to do the shit overseas, that's fine. You know, have your kooky flavors.
Oh, seaweed flavor Oreos India for Japan, I would expect it.
Yeah.
One time I bought nothing at Ralph's but the red velvet Oreos and a box of tampons, and I made unbreaking eye contact with the guy ringing me up.
Oh, no.
Say something. Say something, motherfucker. Yeah. I fucking dare you. How dare you?
I just assume his only response appropriately would be, is there a Mr. Red Velvet Oreos and tampons?
Yes, that's for you listeners. That's one of my catchphrases. in this rich backstory.
Guys, I'm bringing it all back because it's a new day.
So to recap, my brand is Space Jam, a goofy movie, the Moana soundtrack, being dead inside, Wario, and also asking men if there's a Mrs. and then insert a funny statement about them.
Is there a Mrs. shout at me from your garbage truck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for example.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
I never thought Oreos tasted like chocolate. Like, that's how they sell them,
they
right?
They really don't.
They're like the chocolate something with the...
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I never even really thought vanilla about that before.
There's also
like,
the...
It's like a chalky, but not chocolate.
It's just a bland cookie with sugar inside.
How dare you?
Guys, I love Oreos, but now I don't think I do anymore.
I never
I think I just talked
so
myself
much
out of it.
Hey, well, you know what? If you got a problem with the chocolate, you could get the cherry cola Oreo.
Oh, no. Stop.
Oreo.
There's those vanilla ones, too, with like the vanilla cookie.
There's golden.
Oh, the gold.
Yeah. And then there's the uh-oh Oreos, which are garbage.
What's an uh-oh Oreo?
It's just like reverse. Like it's chocolate cream center, and then the other sides are like the golden cookie.
I see.
No. Oreo, go home.
So it's like accidentally slipping in the tutor.
Oreo, you're drunk.
Oreo got drunk.
Get a lift. Don't puke in it.
You guys, pina colada Oreos.
No.
Pina colada. Think about that.
I am not that
Think
impressed.
About that delicious tropical drink and put it into a sandwich cookie.
If since you when like are, pina
since when
colada.
Are Oreos like jelly beans? Like they're coming up with all sorts of
Oreo
things.
Jelly beans?
I mean,
that's not.
This is the world we're living in. It's an upside down, topsy turvy world.
Guys, I don't think I want to live in this world anymore.
And someone somewhere said that cookies and cream ice cream is going to be Oreos. Have you noticed that? Whenever you get cookies and cream ice cream, it's just Oreo cookies.
It's just Oreos. Oh, my God.
What? Yeah, how's that feel, Ray?
It's not good. It does not feel good inside.
Right, but you got to go to... No, not.
Cookies and cream has existed for like...
It has, but I never really realized
30
it was...
30-some years. It's always been that way.
It's just Oreos. Just
until I found McConnell's Ice Cream, which is in Studio City. They make their own chocolate chip cookies in the back, and they mash them up, and they add them to like sweet cream vanilla ice cream.
That's where the farmer's market is, and that's legit.
That's a cookie dough ice cream.
No, but that's dough
that's not cooked into a cookie.
Right.
So this, you get the crunch of the cookie. And it's not Oreo.
I like this guy.
And it's not Oreo, and it's delicious.
So snot Oreos is what I just heard
snot.
Out of there.
Snot Oreos.
Guys, the next commercial is Alphabits, and somehow we get, again, with ghosts.
Too spooky.
Like, why is everything scary? Was this around Halloween time? I don't think it was.
No, there's a Christmas episode.
Yeah,
and the theme of this serial, the music sounds a little bit like Ghostbusters.
Oh, yes. It opened up with something that was like a direct, like, it was the thing you get on the album of, like, library music, and it's just like...
What? I heard it. It was there. So what year was it?
Yeah, take a bite. Take an alphabet bite today.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
So what year was this special come?
85 was this.
All right. So, yeah. They had it.
Right afterward. No. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it is something like, Spirit Tracker. That's the name of the track, you know?
Something strange in your cereal bowl. Who you gonna call?
But it's for Alphabits. Is this a game anybody ever played? Like, I have to eat letters in order to defeat monsters?
I don't know, but I do remember that being a thing. Much the same way as, like,
Alphabet Soup.
Yeah, yeah, Alphabet Soup. You're okay. Like, hey, put words on your spoon. I never did it because that seems fucking pointless.
That's a lot. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guys, let's get McFlurries after this.
Guys,
after this
so
recording.
Speaking
can
of
we?
Heat.
Wiener Schnitzel has pretty
delicious.
Good.
Yeah.
They have tasty freeze.
Not a McFlurry at all.
No, but it's better.
Okay.
Guys, the next commercial, Big Wheels Car Wash, and I want it.
Yes.
I never wanted something so bad.
I want that
right now.
Right, so my prized toy when I was a kid, this is early 80s. Besides that.
I thought it was a back massager.
One he was given, not one he found.
Oh.
Was my G.I. Joe Big Wheel.
Whoa.
And, yeah. I didn't really collect a lot of the action figures, but I had the G.I. Joe's Big Wheels. It was camo green.
Of course.
And I would ride up and, like, I used to go trick-or-treating on that thing. And then my older brother, this was like 19, we moved to Connecticut. My brother got on it. He was bigger. He was older. And he totally broke it.
Well,
and I was devastated.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
And then our next commercial, and here's the deal though, I want that. I just want to drive through water. Is that just...
Especially in this heat.
Guys, it's really hot in LA right now. I don't think we mentioned it.
How hot is it?
I'm more sweat than woman, but that's nothing new.
The last commercial was for a cartoon show me and Chan talked about on another podcast, the Be Kind and Rewind podcast, Star Wars Droids, cartoon about droids.
Thank God we haven't had to do that yet.
Oh, that's sooner rather than later, I can almost assure you.
I'm excited.
When we get George Lucas on the show, we're definitely going to talk about Star Wars droids.
But also, right after that, just this curious thing that I never really understood. Captain O.G. Readmore.
O.G. Readmore.
Read a fucking book. Which should have happened after this was like, here's a book, A Wrinkle in Time. It's about a girl. Like, go read that. No, it's just a fucking cartoon cat that's like, read a book, kids.
So it's a PSA.
Yes.
Basically. Yeah.
It's and then here's the deal. I had forgotten about this until the music started and I saw the character and I was like, oh, it's O.G. Readmore, of course.
Right.
I know who this guy is. But if you would have come to me before the episode and been like, hey, Ray, what's up with O.J. Readmore?
Look, yeah, he murdered his wife.
If the book don't fit.
But he was such a good football player.
Guys, he won the Heisman, so he obviously cannot murder people. Thank you. That's how it works. We all know.
USC still has his number on display.
Thank you. He can park his car wherever he wants.
If it came after the show... if you'd like to learn more about Mexico, then read. Yeah.
This was totally like it had no context. It was just like the concept of reading.
Yeah,
you're watching cartoons right now, and this fucking cat is not making me want to read.
I would like the idea is if he was like encouraging kids to read insanely difficult books. You know, like
Crime and Punishment.
Crime and Punishment was my go to for that. Like, hey kids, Dostoevsky. Do you like a lot of characters? Are you interested in the idea of a Superman? Do you think you can commit crimes without feeling guilt? Dostoevsky. Read it for next week and we'll talk about it.
I'm pretty sure Ray just confused Dostoevsky with Nietzsche. Don't tell him.
Here's the deal. It's the same thing. Yeah. Hey, same
Ray.
Guy.
Nietzsche, man, and Superman, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Ray, you're a dumbass.
Guys, listen. There's one book I'm mildly familiar with. I read the Cliff's Notes. I think I would know.
The Cliff's Notes.
And then we're back to the show again. So, Grandma has decided this infinite wisdom. We now have to chase down a truck that almost ran us over. Has captured Rubik accidentally, and also has, like, gotten a head start on us. So what's the obvious choice? Burrows.
Yeah.
get donkeys and ride them after it.
That actually makes sense because the truck would be traveling up like a really long, windy road, but the burros would have a more of a straight shot because they can climb much steeper. So, like, they actually are, like, doing, like, a, let's cut head them off at the pass.
Why are they going up a mountain? And are that where the pyramids are?
And are they stealing these?
Where the gold is? I don't know.
But also, this is never mending the fact that we already know later she owns an airplane. That should be your first stop. Yeah. Let's go to the airfield. We'll get the crop duster.
I will say, if you're trying to track down someone who's stolen your car, you probably want to go for something a little more horse-oriented than, say, going down to Burbank Airport, just grabbing a Cessna, and like, we'll catch him this way. Oh, I see him.
Cessna.
Now what? We're flying, and now
crash
what?
Into him. Crash into him GTA 5 style. Let's do this.
Wow.
No one's ever died from a plane, so I don't think that's possible.
Oh, that's, you know what? I take it all back. It can't happen. So, yeah, how far exactly?
Hold on, wait a minute. Did they take the car into the towers?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a plan. Yeah. I got a plan.
Okay. Put the car in the plane.
Just take the plane. Run into the Twin Towers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This again.
Yeah. I think this is never forget.
Guys,
this is a good callback.
I'm walking away from the 9/11 jokes.
Oh. Ray thinks he's too good for 9/11 jokes.
You know
and I
what?
Can guarantee that you're not.
I am not going to stand for 9/11 jokes, much like Tower Number 5. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. Now that he says it's really terrible.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel bad for the things
that I
have done.
You just lost your last listener.
Yikes. Yeah. Oh, I don't want
He made me, guys. He made me. He made me. Okay. So, man, my question is exactly how far are they going? They say we're going to the pyramid. And then proceed to ride up a mountain, which, you know, yeah, okay. At this point, Grandma reveals the game. Use your cube. Guys, shut the fuck up. I've known this whole time. I've always known. I've known since before you knew. I invented the cube. I am the cube. I am Grandma.
That all checks out.
We got to go get your
razor
cube.
And just like all these cubes.
Yeah. And so, this is just so. Oh, yeah, I skipped over the whole part with the condor because she says you got to go get the cubes. They lower the boy on a rope.
Yeah.
That they're just sort of holding on to, I think. And then he grabs the cube out before the condor can literally, like, maul him for messing with its nest.
And does the cube get scrambled in just about every episode?
Yes. That is a plot point.
So that the analogy I use of that is in every X-Men movie, they have to remove Charles Xavier somehow.
That's right.
Because he's so powerful that they need him out of the way. They need to incapacitate him.
Which is a problem because also... Grandma is all fucking powerful.
That's right.
So you gotta figure out, and the only reason she's not is just because she's having fun, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because if she just at the end of the episode just like levitated herself and the entire time she could have just like zipped right over to the truck and just splattered the two criminals.
Oh my god, she is Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, I would have bought it.
There's
I would 100%
have been like,
going
yeah,
that makes sense.
Nothing.
There is,
she's a powerhouse.
Anti-age.
But this is okay. So they catch up. They use Rubik. Skipping forward a little bit, they catch up to the truck.
They're on a plane.
Derail. Yeah.
They're on a plane. There's crammed like 14 kids into this one plane.
And Grandma almost crashes the plane.
There, it's
into
it's
a mountain.
A beautiful, I mean, beautiful, terrifying, whatever. Because you're up in the sky, and it's it is just like such a teeny tiny plane that doesn't even have like a fucking cockpit.
Don't worry about that.
They're actually out in the air.
Yeah, no windshield.
Maybe there's a. Maybe one of the kids has a seatbelt, but the two in their laps fucking don't. They're looking at all of this gorgeous landscape. It actually is probably beautiful Mexican scenery at that point.
Off camera.
It's as clear as a bell up here. You can see for miles.
These people are really enjoying it. They're having an experience. This is the reason why you would go to another country for a vacation.
Yes.
So you can experience something new. This fucking kid.
Oh, great. We're looking for a truck, and they give us a weather report.
Holy shit.
Forgive me for enjoying the moment, Lisa.
Walking into the Louvre is like, that's the Mona Lisa smile? Yeah. I've seen bigger smiles from the stripper as I stick my dick in her mouth.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Okay, hold on a sec. Hold on a sec, guys. Chan?
Yeah.
You frequent strip clubs often?
No. This is in the voice of Lisa.
Does Lisa frequent strip clubs often?
I guarantee you she does.
Stick her dick.
I 100% would
Jen,
believe.
I guess my question is, what do you think happens at strip clubs?
What do you think a girl like this would do
in Ohio?
Strip club?
Or?
Well, okay, yeah. In Windsor, it's a different story. Yeah. I'll say that. But Chan, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
You don't go to the strip club and put your dick in anybody's mouth.
Mm-mm.
In fact, they're very against that.
Yeah, you go and you pray.
Yeah.
That's some special VIP section. Yeah. Right there. Yeah.
That's just maybe you've seen too many movies about the champagne room.
If grandma wanted to stick her dick in one of these strippers' mouths, that dick is going to go into that mouth.
Here's the deal. Grandma would stick a dick in a stripper's mouth.
Yeah. Which makes me think that maybe this child is some weird homunculus offspring of grandma. Like, she wasn't born. She was created out of
go
a jar.
Go ahead.
hurry up, because I'm going to get the runs again soon.
I just figure Rubik spawned her out of an egg. Okay, so their big thing, so they derail the truck. Great, Rubik does all this magic shit, and it's like the bad guys are running away. So what does Rubik do to stop them? Not to make a net. I don't know, like create a natural barrier or
clown shoes.
Grow their feet to grossly disproportionate sizes.
Hold on. They're trying to get away. They start sliding off the edge. They're about to plummet to their deaths.
That's right.
Somehow the truck is rescued. It's levitating in midair. And this one criminal's like, oh no, the curse.
The curse. Yeah.
The curse that's supposed to murder you or the curse that is saving your life? Do you know what a curse is, man?
We stole that. We thought about stealing that gold from the magic pyramid at the top of that mountain with this truck we stole with our tow truck. Clearly, it says in the scriptures, our feet will grow to enormous sizes.
Yeah.
It's awfully specific is all I'm trying to say.
And I'm pretty sure that Rubik left their feet like that.
Oh, no. Rubik never put them back. They work for the circus, the jail circus now.
Yeah. They had to have their feet amputated.
Oh, my God.
Because there's not enough blood in their body to fill those feet.
Much like that woman in the Voyage of the Mimi callback.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Okay, and so they go to the ruins with the truck.
They hung giant stockings that night and got all the toys back.
But unfortunately, there was so much candy
in
those stockings.
Holy shit, that was in the cutout part of this script.
Probably.
That totally makes sense.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Oh, God damn it.
This is such a great story if you get the entire thing.
Yeah, like we've I'm sure there was a callback with that parrot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. That parrot is the key to everything.
That's what we need behind the music.
We need the director's
Rubik's
cut.
First Christmas.
Right.
So yeah, so they take the truck to the ruins because they're just like, we think they're here by the ruins, but they're not here. We didn't think to check in the ruins, even though that's a building.
What? No. There was two separate places. They're like, where are the toys? And then Rubik does his clairvoyance thing.
He conjures them into the child's tear, which is frankly weird.
That was weird.
Yeah.
It's the girl.
Yes.
Who has, I think I've made a solid case that she's a homunculus.
Yes.
So, like, she is just like a foci of magical energies for this demonic cube. And the Bruja grandmother.
And she sticks her dick in strippers' mouths.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
She
that
grows the dick to stick in their mouths because they all need to know who's the fucking boss.
They're all her dollies.
And in her magic tears are the closest strip clubs. That's like the GPS. It's like the Google Maps.
They normally use it just like a Yelp. Look into her tears. Find me a fried chicken place.
Guys, when did this show go wrong?
when somebody picked Rubik.
When someone pitched it to ABC.
So they find them all.
They
fill the truck with all the presents, and then Rubik makes it fly like Santa Claus.
Yes.
And then has a Santa beard.
Yep.
Because then he makes it snow in gosh darn Mexico. Mm-hmm. What of the ecosystem, Rubik?
Holy shit, you are destroying
wildlife. Yeah. There are creatures that are going extinct all around you, and he's just giggling like a psychopath.
Yeah.
The moral of the story is that he's Santa Claus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've never wanted Santa to not be real as much as I do right now.
What?
Let's go to the commercials.
It didn't even make any sense.
Guys, nothing I say makes sense.
Ray looked at me the whole time.
Yeah, he did.
I wanted it to be weird.
I
wanted it to be weird. I don't know. Guys,
4 months of this.
This is where Eileen's like, how do I get Murphy Brown canceled?
Yeah, when I messaged you, you were like, I'm excited. I'm like, really?
Why?
Whoa,
I'm always excited, guys.
That's true.
Yeah, in the idea stage, everything's great. And then
when I'm like alone on my computer in my living room, I'm like, oh, yeah, friends. And then I'm like, oh, shit, it's Ray.
Right.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You've done this show like at least a half dozen times before. You know exactly what we're going to be doing.
Every time.
It's like every time she sees it, she's just like, oh, this new thing I've never heard of before. Yes, I'm going, oh, fuck, it's Ray again. God damn it.
I purposely forget every time.
It's like the Men in Black device. And
but it's self-inflicted.
Okay, last commercial. We got Rice Krispies, Snack Crackle Pop.
Yum, yum, yum.
And we've got a hunger relief concert. Start with like David Bowie and Bruce Springsteen and Mick
Paul
Jagger.
McCarthy.
Paul McCartney. Yeah, it's. I would love that. It's a good concert.
It wasn't Live Aid, though.
No, but it wasn't Live Aid. It was a hunger relief. Yeah. It was the enemy of Live Aid. I believe that they, you know, two different camps, red versus blue here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they fought.
And Chan,
if they did?
Did you guys watch Beyond the Closing Credits? Because I did.
I did.
And we got a Schoolhouse Rock.
Schoolhouse Rock.
We got maybe the most problematic Schoolhouse Rock. Like,
whoa,
Chan,
yeah.
Manifest Chan,
Destiny.
The Manifest Destiny. We claimed the West from nobody in particular because white people just needed some elbow room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The elbow room song that I remembered a lot more positively when I was a kid. Upon watching the video and listening to the lyrics of the song again, it's upsetting.
Yep.
Someone was telling me recently that Disney owned Schoolhouse Rock. Well, that would make sense because it was on ABC after this cartoon. But did Disney own ABC?
I don't think
ABC?
They owned ABC back then.
No.
That's a fairly more recent purchase.
Well, Disney's acquiring every property.
ABC might have owned Schoolhouse Rock.
Right.
And when they bought ABC, they might have also bought Schoolhouse Rock.
Right.
When's there going to be a Schoolhouse Rock ride at Epcot, guys?
Well, the problem is they all are about murdering Native Americans. That's
yeah, fine.
For elbow room.
Right.
It's a little crowded in here. Let's go do some massacring.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride ends with you going to hell.
Correctly.
So it's not outside of the realm of possibility.
Eileen, he was a drunk driver. He belongs in hell.
You're right.
Thank you. And then at the end, they say, we're going to colonize the moon. And I'm like, I hope there's no life up there for us to murder. Jeez, oh, Pete. And then, the final commercial, Hug a Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I love the fact that there was like a mommy and baby dolls for the children. So it's like this weird Inception thing happening. And that they called the little dolls the Huglets.
Huglets.
which was also mildly upsetting.
That's what I call every hug.
A huglet.
Like a nice huglet.
That's a little hug. It's a little huglet.
Because I'm shy. I don't like hugging for the long. So I'm like, oh, done.
Not in this heat. Guys, it's so hot in LA right now.
What? Guys, drink some Gatorade because you need your electrolytes.
Seriously.
You know, when it was, what was it, 112 on Friday, 100 on Saturday, 100 on Sunday?
115 on Friday at my house.
Yeah. It was 116 in my house.
Every day that weekend, I was, I got to get to the beach because it's going to be cooler down there. And then I figured everyone's going to be at the beach. It's just going to be a mob scene, and I don't even have the energy to do that. And so I just stayed by the AC.
I did too.
I think the beach was empty.
Was it?
Everyone
I bet it was.
Stayed.
Nobody could leave the house.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because people don't. I mean, you got in your car and you couldn't even touch the steering wheel.
No, it's ridiculous. I got to tell a really quick story because that's the end of Rubik's Amazing Cube. But that's just something I wanted to share on the air for Chan especially because I was at Anime Expo all last weekend, guys.
Right.
Anime Expo, a big anime convention
Woo!
Here in Los
Woo!
Angeles. working for a certain video game company, showing off a certain video game that Eileen's still insanely angry at me for.
Ray has not given me any swag from this video game series.
Nothing.
And I'm very disappointed and also not surprised.
Kingdom Hearts, say the name.
I mean, it could be anything, guys.
Okay.
But I was running this demo kiosk, and I was giving the instructions for here's how it's going to work, here's where I'm going to put you, here's what we're doing. And there was one particular guy in line who the whole time I was giving these instructions just was turned away, was on his phone, talking to his friend, not interested in anything at all that I was saying. So when it came time to put him in position, he was looking at me like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Why would I go there? Why would I do any of that? And I looked at him like, well, I just gave you the instructions over there. At which point, I mean, any reasonable person would be like, oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. Can you just please? This guy decided to double down and throw it back in my face. And the excuse that he gave for why he didn't hear me was because I can't help it if you're not loud.
Ooh.
I want to.
Is there a Mrs. Mailneg?
And I looked right at him. I go, sir, I've been called a lot of things from a lot of people. Not loud has never approached one of them. Yeah, and so it brought me joy, especially thinking of the way I blow out the speakers every single time we open an episode. Guy Chan, according to this guy, my problem is in life, I'm just not loud enough.
Wow, there you go. Was he single? Do you tell him about me?
There's no chance that guy was not single.
Perfect!
Eileen, he was at an anime convention.
What?
Whoa.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Met at anime conventions?
Not a girlfriend in sight. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, you're going to be losing us a lot of listeners.
Guys, here's the deal. If you're into anime, that's totally cool. I've been there myself when I was a younger man. I love the anime.
In high school, yeah.
But I'm just saying, the guy walking around with the half-naked, six-foot body pillow of his favorite character probably is going to sleep alone at night.
No, he's going to sleep with a body pillow.
Okay, excuse me. Guys, I've been proven wrong immediately. I take it all back. They have 10 girlfriends each, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sailor Jupiter, Sailor Moon.
Sailor Venus.
That's right.
Anyways, that's a short story I wanted to share. I really just wanted to brag that I was at Anime Expo in the air conditioning all weekend. You know,
okay.
Guys, because it's so hot in LA right now.
It's so hot. Guys, get some popsicles. Get some Otter Pops.
I have to, on the way home, I have to buy some Chipwiches, some ice cream cookie sandwiches, because it's just so hot.
It's so hot, guys. Mm-hmm. We're getting McFlurries.
We're all getting McFlurries today.
We're all getting McFlurries.
You got to get a coffee culotta. Remember those?
I do.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Not for me.
Did anyone get their free Slurpees yesterday on Free Slurpee Day?
What? No, did not know this.
Yeah, 7-Eleven.
I did the free donut day a couple months ago, but every day is a different food day, and yeah. I can't remember them all.
I look forward to Free Slurpee Day every year, but I forgot that it ends at 7 p.m., and I showed up at 10 after my improv practice, but I gave them the big sad eyes, and then they just let me have it for free anyway.
Is that the one where they let you bring any receptacle of your choosing?
No.
So people bring, like, just ridiculous, like, bathtubs, and then they just fill them with Slurpees and walk out the door like a weird Cialis commercial?
That's different. It's a different day. It's okay. Just you get like a free, like mini, like a kid size.
When the moment is right.
And your bathtub's full of Slurpee.
And it's 112 degrees out.
See, Alice, when the time is right.
That's right.
Guys, we're getting overly silly and we're running like probably insanely long. So, guys, Jordan, where can people find you online?
Oh, all the places. Facebook, Instagram, Jay Moncel. Yeah.
Silhouettes by Jordan on Facebook.
Silhouettes by Jordan on Facebook.
And tell them where you're going to be next week when they hear this.
San Diego Comic-Con.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
I'll be in Small Press, Q13.
There you go. So, guys, if you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, you're hearing the show, go say hi to Jordan. Let him know that you listen to the show.
Yes, please.
And then buy a lot of things that he has to sell. Please give him money.
You know, a silhouette of a Rubik's Cube would be very easy. Well, unless I did it in color.
If you did like, oh.
Ooh, well, if I added that freakish.
You got to add the face and legs, obviously.
And legs, yes.
And here's what you need to make one of those. Yeah. I'll tell you what you need to do. But it would be great if you made one of those and just hung it and just waited for the first person who recognized it.
Recognized it, yeah. That'd be
great. El Diablo!
Just running. There's people running.
That's awesome stuff. Eileen, where can people find you online?
guys, you can find me on Twitter. I'm verified. I have a check mark. It's all I have in my entire world. At @I_lean. Please tweet at me your sex and relationship questions.
We're going to get this podcast off the ground.
I need this.
We need to reach out to Townsend Coleman.
What if every episode was just me being like, Townsend couldn't be here today?
A different excuse.
Yeah. But I'm here to answer your sex and relationship questions. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at Eileen Mary O'Connell, because someone took my @I_lean handle.
That's very upsetting.
Mary O'Connell. Mm-hmm. You know, wouldn't be Irish, would you?
I am.
Oh, that's why she has the green mic.
Uh-huh. Sorry, guys. My grandfather just came back from the dead, and he's talking to me right now.
What is this about sex questions on the radio?
Grandpa, I missed you so much.
Wait, is he the co-host that you had to get when Townsend Coleman?
Yeah, it's me and my ghost grandpa.
Well, guys, if you want to connect with the show, you can always hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, or you can hit up our Patreon, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. I'm going to put a list out of every single bonus episode that you could get in the vault, because I just realized how freakishly large the amount of bonus content we've amassed over the last couple of years has been, and I think people need to know these things. And Jordan himself is clicking like right now.
Oh, I already did.
Boom.
Wow.
Boom. Victory. You can also hit me on Twitter. We are at G.I. Joe Podcast. Or you can hit me up individually. I am at Almighty Ray.
I'm at 999 RPMs.
And you can also hit up at Prez Serpentor with a Z. In an alternate 2018, Serpentor from G.I. Joe has been elected president of the United States. And this mirrors our own reality in ways a little too scary to mention.
Whoa.
He just nominated Buzzer for the Supreme Court, so we can finally get a verdict in the landmark Breath Mint versus Candy Mint trial. The one that rocked all of the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
So until next week, enjoy your Rubik's, enjoy your cubes.
I just quit.
And enjoy the devil inside. Thank you very much, everybody, and a good night to you.
Soy un hombre muy honrado que me gusta lo mejor. A mujeres no me falta ni el dinero ni el amor.
Desperado.
That's the Desperado song. Yeah.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win," or, "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say, Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.